Once again, hymn number 393, Blessed Assurance. Stand when you find it, please. 393, Blessed Assurance.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing together. 393, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank you.
be seated. This time we'll have a special from Pastor Mrs. Walsh.
Guilty as charged, alone in my sin, ashamed to admit that I needed a friend, a prisoner of pain, blinded by sin, those chains had me bound. But that's when Jesus stepped forth in my place, taking the shame and all my disgrace. He cried, "It is finished," and he bowed his face. Then mercy came down.
Mercy came down to show me love, covered my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge. Then mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. For mercy came down. That old account was settled in prayer at an old-fashioned altar. God met me there. He washed all my sin and made me an heir to an heavenly crown. Now Satan may try to bring up my past, but I'm washed in the blood, my soul is at rest. Forgiveness was mine the moment I asked, then mercy came down. Mercy came down to show me love, covered my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge, then mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The mercy came down. Mercy came down to show me love, cover my sin with Calvary's blood, pleading my case before the judge. Then mercy came down. Now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. For mercy came down. Mercy came down. Mercy came down.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, please. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. When you found your place, we're going to read all the chapter, which is only six verses this morning. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray together. Father, help us understand your word today. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak through it. May the Holy Spirit of God teach each one of us, help each one of us, convict us where we need it. Father, fill me. I surrender to you, and I ask that you would help me, Lord, to preach the words that you've laid upon my heart. Father, give us a great morning in the house of the Lord, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first verse, we can just dive right in. It says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I think if we were to look at the scripture this morning and see the word blessed, right away we can sense that the Holy Spirit and the human author David are trying to help us. I think it's interesting where we pick the word blessed or blessed and just know that God is trying to impart something to us
That's going to help us. That's going to encourage us. That's going to help us along in our Christian life. If you can, it's an intention getter. It's something just to grab onto us that we might pay attention to how we might be blessed. Blessed is the man. That's the title of our message this morning, The Blessed Man. I think if we are genuine in our Christian walk, each one of us understand that we need the blessing of God. We need the blessing of God in our lives. We cannot function. We cannot live. There is no joy without the blessing of God in our lives. And so Psalm chapter 1 grabs our attention right away with the word blessed is the man. Years ago, Bethany was 4 years old, I believe. She was just little. And for whatever reason, Bethany she'd come to the table every morning and she'd pick up my coffee. And she'd drink a little bit of my coffee. And she just got addicted to coffee. And we don't let her have it very often. Once in a while, we'll let her have a little bit, but we try not to let her have it too often. She's 10 now, of course, but she was 4 or 5 years old, and since she was homeschooled, she was already reading a little bit. And we were in the car one day and driving along, and how many of you know that every year McDonald's puts on coffee for free for about a week? You know, we're all good Baptists. We say free. We like free, amen? And so there was a big billboard in Hamilton, and it just said, free coffee. And it had a McDonald's symbol in the background and the date for that week. And Bethany was right behind me in the van, and all of a sudden I just hear, yeah! And I just about went through the windshield. It just scared me, and I said, what is going on? She said, free coffee! I look at that word blessed, and I think, man, that's just like free coffee! Amen? That's an attention grabber. That's something that I start reading that and say, hey, I want to know more. I got to find out about this. Now, she couldn't read too much more but other than free. She knew what coffee was, and she's a Baptist preacher's kid, so she knew what free was. And so she said, free. But she says, when is that? Where is that? How do I get that? That's how I feel about this word right here. Blessed is the man. I want to know more right now. What, Barry Garrett, do you want to know more? I want to know more. I want to know what that's about. I want to know how I can be blessed, how I can walk among the blessed, how I can have the blessing of God. It's an attention getter. You know, being blessed is that condition of spiritual joy in your life. There's a lot of things. Do you know that people can be a blessing to you? But that's God's will. That's God putting those people in your life to be a blessing. Blessings are a spiritual impartation into your life. It is something that God gives you. And it's a joy that only God can give, and only nobody can take it away because it is given by God. It's a place of having your life in harmony with God and His plan for you. Our first point today is just simply this, that blessedness is a desired position. That's the thing we ought to be seeking after. I really believe with all my heart that everything, after our salvation, everything flows out of our life because of the blessings of God. Everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we know, all the joy that we experience is simply because of God's blessing in our lives. That's the thing that we ought to be desiring and seeking after, is to know God and know Him personally, that He might bless us through that wonderful relationship that we can have with Him. You know, that is God's plan for your life, that you can have that relationship with Him, that you can have that fellowship with Him, that He might impart spiritual joy into your life. That's God's desire. Turn, if you will, just for a moment to Matthew chapter 5. We know this passage of Scripture so well, but I want you to read it together in the context of Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 5. The Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, it's often that we don't stop when people are reviling us and persecuting us and saying all manner of evil against us and say, man, I am blessed. Because the blessing is not in the persecution. The blessing is when God steps in and says, rejoice in me, saying, glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There's a blessing in everything when we walk with the Lord. Now think about this. What if somebody was being treated poorly and being persecuted and being mocked and scorned, and they had no relationship with the Lord, and they had nothing to look forward to for their reward in heaven? Could they be blessed? See, being blessed comes from the relationship we have with the Lord. That's the desired position of every Christian, to grow in their walk with the Lord. Now, let me say three things about this desired position. First of all, being blessed is a result of grace. It's a result of grace. It is a gift that none of us deserve. You ever received a gift you didn't deserve? Yeah? You ever get something and have you ever said, I can't accept this. I don't deserve this. I've told you about 2 years ago in June, I received an email. And the email just simply said, I've been asked to contact you to come down to Blue Star 4 and pick up your new car. And I thought it was a joke. The guy that signed it, I even looked him up. He wasn't even on the website for Blue Star Ford. He didn't even work there as far as the website was concerned. And so I didn't think anything about it. I thought it was just a hoax. Well, the next day I was going out to my uncle's funeral out at Walsh Cemetery. And I was driving by. I thought, well, I'll stop in and ask. And I stopped in and I got the fellow's name mixed up. And I said, is there a, well, I can't remember the name now, working here? And they said, no. But there is a, and they changed the first name and the last name was the same. I said, that's it, that's the name. And I explained to the lady what has gone on. And she looked at me, she goes, yeah, it does sound like a joke. She said, let me talk to, have you talked to this other fella and you can talk to him. And so I went in there and she said, he's not in right now, but this guy handles all the finances as well. And he'll know. And so I talked to the guy and he just kind of stared at me. And I said, I know, it sounds crazy. And I said, I feel foolish even asking, but I said, I got this email from this fellow that works the afternoon shift today. And I said, I just thought I'd stop in. He says, let me see your driver's license and I'll see if there's anything on file. So I gave him my driver's license and he looked at it and he says, oh no, it's legit. I just wanted to make sure that you were who you said you were. And he took me out and handed me a new car. And I said, I don't understand. I don't get this. And I guess the fellow, I can't remember his name now, he must have been a Christian of some sort. He says, sometimes we're not supposed to understand. It's just the grace of God. Well, what a great statement. Sometimes we're not supposed to understand how good God is to us. It's just His grace. It's just His blessings. And any blessings that we experience in this life are the results of God's grace. The second thing I'd like to say about this position of being blessed is that it's being blessed is a revelation of God. How many times has God blessed you? Even in your sinful condition, even when you're backslidden, even when you are against God for that time, He has blessed you just to remind you that He loves you. Just to reveal Himself to you again. I see so many heads nodding because you know what I'm talking about. You say, I can remember a time where I was so far from the Lord. I wasn't praying. I wasn't reading my Bible. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord like I should have. I had aught with a brother in the house of God, and yet God still blessed me. That's God revealing Himself to you. That's God saying, I still love you. You know, there's times where children get out of step, but we still feed them. We still clothe them. We still provide a home for them. We still bless them. And God, our Heavenly Father, is the same. He knows how to love us. And He takes care of us and reveals Himself to us. This desired position in being blessed is having a relationship with God. It's a result of grace. It's the revelation of God, but it's having a relationship with Him. Look in verse 2 and 3. The blessed man says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whithersoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says he meditates in God's word. He has a relationship with Him. reads the Bible, he relates with the Lord. Listen, we need to move from this idea that we can receive the blessings of God and move into this concept that we can dwell in a perpetual state of the blessed. Because really, that's what we are. We are blessed. God has been so gracious to us. It is our desired position. But I want you to notice the Scripture has declared some pitfalls as well. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That word counsel means advice or declaring a purpose. The world is always giving us their ideas, aren't they? I mean, you only need to watch any television program, and about every 3 or 4 minutes, it seems that there's commercials. And the world is showing us, here's the latest fashion, and here's how you should dress. Here's the newest fad. Here's the newest beer. Yeah, it is cool. And how come when they have beer, there's always parties and women in bikinis and it's up at a cottage having a good time, and it's all... Is beer really that fun? I've been to a lot of funerals of guys drinking beer. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. Cursed is the man that put a bottle to another man's lips, the Bible says. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And yet the world pushes their philosophy, their counsel, their advice upon us. And the Bible says if we're going to be the blessed man, we are to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly is not just the unsaved, but it's that man who follows after sin. A lot of saved people that follow after sin. I remember one time I was out with a friend of mine, and we were having some dinner, and a fellow came by our table. And he was asking about the church and things. And he says to me, he says, "Well, why don't you preach a couple messages on this?" Well, you know, I don't mind taking advice, and if it can help, that's fine. But this fellow didn't even go to church. And so when he left the table, my friend wisely said this. He says, "Preacher," he says, "I know you get advice from other preachers and stuff." He says, "But man, don't let that guy tell you how to preach. We don't take advice from the ungodly." Do you know what? I have a Christian lawyer. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but I have a Christian lawyer. I have my real estate guy. When I bought a house, I went with George Boma, a Christian realtor. When I deal with a funeral home, I go to a Christian funeral home. Now, I know that's not always available, but we've been blessed in Simcoe. We have Christians that we can get advice from. I don't want to get advice from the ungodly. I don't want to take their philosophy and put it into my life. The Bible says we are to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Years ago, there was a lady that came to our house. Our children were just little. I guess they were just about to start school. And a lady came to our house, and she was selling this advanced learning program of some sort. And she had called my wife during the day. And I don't know, telemarketers, if they can get my wife home, they can get somewhere. I used to just take the phone and hand it to Bethany. Here, Beth, you talk to them. And she would talk them. Finally, one guy called 3 times one night. He just kept calling back. I said, "Bethany, it's for you." And she talked his ear. She was about 3 years old. She just talked his ear off. And finally, he got smart. He waited till about 10 o'clock at night when he knew she'd be in bed. And he called us again. But anyway, this lady called, and my wife, she said, "Oh, yes, she's so gracious on the phone, she can't say no." So this lady came over, and she says, "Well," she says, "you know," she says, "we have proven in studies that if they'll listen to classical music, and if they'll do this, I mean, in the womb and everything, all this crazy stuff." And I'm thinking, well, if they can listen to classical music and get ahead, why can't they listen to Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me? Wouldn't that help them? Amen. I got some classical music too. I got the Cathedral's Classic CD. Amen. I got the classics. And so I thought they were talking about unsaved people influencing my children. Let's listen to this and let's. And so I tested her. And she was very pushy. She said, "Well, you need to get in on this. The price might change tomorrow. And it's only $4,000 and it's this and it's that." And I finally said this. I said, "Listen, here's what we're going to do." I said, "My wife and I are going to take a couple days to pray about it." And immediately she started closing up her books. And she got an angry look on her face. And she just said, "Okay, well, I can see you're really not interested, and I've kind of wasted my time tonight." That's an ungodly response All we said is we wanted to pray about it. Listen, don't take your advice and counsel from the ungodly. Be careful. Too many of us today dress like the world, we behave like the world, we talk like the world, because it is the world that is our influence. We're getting all our counsel from them. The Bible says that's a pitfall. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here's the next one. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. If counsel is receiving from the world, then standing in the way of is running with the world. That's just the natural next step. If you're going to receive the advice and the counsel from the world, it won't be long before you're standing in the way of sinners. You're running with the world. You'll say, hey, that sounds good. I'm going to behave like you. I'm going to act like you. Listen, this is literally walking away from being blessed. There's a gift. God is offering you all these things, and you're just saying, no, I'm going to hear the counsel of the world, and I'm going to go stand in the way of sinners. It's a choice, and you're making it. Well, let me say this. The way of the sinner is difficult. The way of the sinner is difficult. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you ever struggled because you're following after the world? The Bible says man is unstable. The way of the sinner is difficult. A friend of mine, Luis Jimenez, who was a pastor in Hamilton, an assistant pastor now in Hamilton, and he had been in the ministry in Utah as well as one of the Spanish families that came up from Utah. Luis told me this. He says one day he had a lady come into the church in Utah, and they were dealing with her and trying to help her, and she was a drug addict. And she said, for months, she says, I lived on the streets. And she said, I would just walk up and down the streets and I'd stare at the streetlights. She says, in my drug duper, she says, the streetlights would speak to me, over here, come over here. And then she said, I'd see the next one, I'd say, come over here. And she said, I'd just go in circles. The devil was just leading her around in that state. You see, the way of the sinner is difficult. It's hard. The Bible says the way of the sinner is hard. The way of the sinner is difficult. The way of the sinner is detrimental. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. The way of the sinner is detrimental. You think you can play with sin? Sin has pleasure for but a season. But friends, eventually it'll get you. It'll overthrow you. It breaks my heart to see when young people will dabble in sin. Breaks my heart to see when adults will dabble in sin. Because I'm here to tell you, you can't tame that beast. Eventually, it'll buck you off. And it'll have the victory in your life. If you're going to dabble with sin. The way of the sinner is difficult. The way of the sinner is detrimental. The way of sin is deceitful. Hebrews 13:3 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. The way of sin is deceitful, and the way of sinner is death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6, our text this morning, the very last verse says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are some declared pitfalls along the way. If you want to be a blessed man, you have to avoid them. The first is, we are to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The second, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The third is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As I said before, I believe this is progressive. If we're going to listen to the counsel of the ungodly, eventually we'll be happy to run with the sinners and stand in their way. But thirdly, it says we will eventually sit down in the seat of the scornful. I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting down, that means I'm settled in. Amen? I'm resting now. I'm comfortable now. I'm not just walking through and trying this out any longer. Now I'm conforming. I'm getting involved. And the Bible says we are going to sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful is the feeling that someone or something is worthless or despicable. We've totally turned our backs against God and saying, no, your way is foolish. The other night, I watched a program on the Learning Channel called The History of the World. You know, and I've heard about evolution and the Big Bang Theory and all that other foolish stuff that goes on. But I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it and bang, there it was. Amen? I believe in that. And so I thought, I'm going to watch this thing. And so it starts out 300 billion years ago, you know. And somebody wisely said this. Whenever you hear 300 billion years ago, you might as well say once upon a time. Because it's a fairy tale. So they began to outline all these different things, and it was interesting to me that how much of it was simply unproved theory, and yet they talk about it so dogmatically like it's absolute fact. Wow. Scorners. Turned their backs against God. Comfortable in their sin. And turned against the Lord. There's some people in this category we find in the Bible. There's some that are called sensual, having not the Spirit. There are those that are professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's others that said they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, and so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Listen, friends, that's where it's headed. They say, oh, come on, preacher, you mean listening to the world just a little bit, getting advice from the ungodly? That's where the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are those today that don't even understand how far sin has taken them. But I want to give you some good news this morning. If you want to be a blessed man, God has given us, thirdly, a directed path. Well, that being blessed is that desired position. That's what we want. And there's no doubt that God has declared some pitfalls to avoid. But He's also given us a directed path. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we all know that verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, the Bible is very plain in Psalm chapter 1 about pretty much the same thing. The Bible says in verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. Not only that, the Bible says he doth meditate day and night. How many times do we have to get up in the pulpit and just say, read your Bible. Get into the Word of God. Love it. Embrace it. And when it says something you don't agree with, guess what? You're wrong. We are to conform ourselves to His image by delighting in the law of the Lord. Now, by the way, in Psalm chapter 1, it is not a command to read the Bible. It's not a command. It's just saying this is what the blessed man does. If you desire the position of living and dwelling in the blessings of God and being in that perpetual state of blessedness, this is what the blessed man does. He delights in the law of the Lord. He gets into the Word of God. He meditates therein day and night. I can't know how many times somebody will come and talk to me. Say, preacher, I got this problem. I'm just not happy. And I'll say, you're reading your Bible? And they'll say, no. You'll have a little bit more joy if you start reading your Bible. Get into the Word of God. Meditate on it. That word meditate, Pastor Masker's here this morning, and he used to illustrate it. I'm not going to illustrate it, but he'd say, it's like a cow chewing his cud. Remember that? He used to say that? And he'd do the mouth thing, and he'd spit it up on the stage and all that stuff. And no, he didn't do that. But I can't do my mouth like him. He came in this morning, and I said, hey, I'm preaching. Go up, thou bald head. I'm glad you're here. But that's what it's like, just chewing it up and over and digesting it and redigesting and meditating on it. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. So many people get angry about God's word today. Wait, you want me to prove it to you? Go down to a street corner someday and just start reading a Leviticus. Thou shalt not lay with mankind as thou dost with womankind. That'll tick them right off, I'm telling you. They don't like the word of God. But you know what else they don't like? You must be born again. Well, don't tell me what to do. I can get to heaven on my own way. No, you can't. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but its end is death. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says. Jesus Christ, you want to talk about ways, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Delight in the law of the Lord. And there's some things here that we can see that'll be that blessing, that thing that'll help you in this life. First of all, you'll be planted. Verse 3, the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Be planted, well watered and fed, planted by the rivers of water. You know, there's no joy in being unstable, bouncing around, not going, knowing where to go next. How many of you, maybe at some point in your life, have just said, you know what, it's just time for me to put down some roots. You ever said that? You ever heard people say that? I just wish I could just find a job, start a family, put down some roots, and just have some stability in my life. The Bible says that if we'll meditate in the Word of God, He'll plant you. He'll make you stable. You're not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But you're going to have that steadfastness that God desires for you. The second thing is this. You'll be productive. The Bible says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. I tell you what. I believe that when God blesses us, He blesses us to bless Him. To be productive. To bring forth fruit. John chapter 15 almost echoes this whole concept directly. We are to be grafted into the vine. And as long as we are in the vine, we'll bring forth fruit, and then much fruit, and then fruit that remains. Abounding before the Lord. That's what the Lord wants for us. To be planted and productive. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says much the same thing. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're planted, then we bring forth fruit. We're steadfast, and then we're abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not a vain in the Lord. So the Lord, Bible says, when we get into the Word of God, He will plant us and make us productive. But then thirdly, He'll make us prosperous. The Bible says right there, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. This nonsense. Well, you send me $1,000 and God will turn it into a brick of gold. You know these guys that preach that kind of thing. He says, my way shall prosper. Those things that I'm doing for Him shall prosper. Those things that He has put in my hand and that fruit that has been coming forth out of my life, it shall prosper if I'll meditate in the Word of God. I find that today with our schedules being so busy, that we are so busy seeking our own way and our own best interests that we miss the plan that God has for our lives. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that as we look in the Word of God and we want to be blessed, how many of you would say today, that's my desired position. I want to be in the place of the blessed. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to know that everything I'm doing, that God's just smiling upon it, and that He's going to prosper me, He's going to bless me. Well then, friends, I want you to know that you got to avoid some of these pitfalls. You got to stay away from them. Don't take counsel from the world. Be careful. Because the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that be in the world. We have to be careful what the world is trying to persuade us to do. You know, the devil's very subtle. If he can get you just a little bit, he'll start moving bigger and bigger. So be careful of those pitfalls. But God has given us a plain path to follow. And if we want to be the blessed man, if we want to follow after God and know that His blessing is upon our lives, we just need to simply delight in the law of the Lord. Now read the rest of the chapter with me. The Bible says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That doesn't mean they will not stand in judgment. It means they'll not be able to stand in the judgment. They'll be driven away. There's nothing they can do before a holy God because they're ungodly. It says they'll stand not in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's just a simple choice, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that in the Word of God, almost everything we look at has two choices? There's not 10, there's not 50. You either choose God or you choose the world. You either choose life or you choose death. You either choose heaven or you choose hell. There's no other options. It's just plain, black and white, cut and dried. The Bible says you're going to be righteous or you're going to be ungodly. The ungodly shall perish, the righteous shall be blessed. What is your choice? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's pray today. Father, help us, Lord, understand the Word of God. Speak to our hearts with it. Father, maybe there's one here today that knows not Christ as their Lord and Savior. Would you speak to them today? Would you help them see their need of Jesus Christ? And Father, we pray for those that are striving to serve you, that want to live in that blessed position. We pray, Lord, that you'd help them to avoid some of these pitfalls. May they walk in the Spirit so they fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Father, help them, Lord, to get into the Word of God. Let them boister their life and encourage and exhort them. Lord, that God can begin to work through their lives again. Help us, Lord. Direct us in this invitation time. Speak to us, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The altar is open even now. If God has spoken to your heart, would you...